In the first part of the introduction, we explained that in order to be really a Kabbalist rather than just know something about Kabbalah, you have to actually know all the details of Kabbalah, in the same way as to be a physicist, you have to know all the details of physics. So now we're going to have to start explaining the entire Kabbalah, the entire knowledge of the study of Kabbalah, which, as we said, is an all-inclusive knowledge which explains how everything in the universe was created. At the beginning of any Kabbalah course, there's always certain warnings given. One of the warnings is that, like Yoda said in Star Wars, stay away from the dark side of the Force. In other words, that you should stay away from the evil Kabbalah because it'll actually draw you into evil. And the other warning is that when one studies Kabbalah, he should understand that he's only understanding the external levels of basically how the world was created and not the internal levels of godliness itself. These are usually given at the beginning of a Kabbalah course. However, we have to make a certain reservation here. Most of our explanations will be according to the explanations of the Hasidic masters, so that this is the inner level of Kabbalah, which is called the secrets of the secrets. The regular level of Kabbalah, which one usually hears about, is called Razei de Torah, the secrets of the Torah. And we're also going to explain the level of the secret of the secrets, which that is the actual explanations of the actual unknowable infinite light from which the world was created. Now, it explains in Kabbalah that when one learns the secrets of the secrets, these two dangers of falling into the dark side of Kabbalah and also the danger of not understanding the inner meaning are basically circumvented. Now, but first, let's explain what's the difference between the Holy Kabbalah and the Evil Kabbalah, which the Holy Kabbalah was given us through our holy sages, and the Evil Kabbalah was the Kabbalah that went out and became into the various kinds of witchcrafts and evil types of seeking after esoteric power for personal benefit. In general, it has to be understood that the world really comes out of the side of evil, not so much out of the side of good. That the actual physical world is really powered by what is called the klipos, the shells, the external evil powers. Now, these powers are not necessarily inherently evil. They're evil when they're used only for personal gain. And when one learns them in order to understand the true Kabbalah, then they're included in holiness. The basic story about this is it says that in the old days, the sages caught the evil inclination, in other words, the Satan, and they imprisoned him, and they were thinking about whether to kill him or not. But when he was imprisoned, the chickens stopped laying eggs, because since the inclination for evil was locked up, so the sexual lust of the chickens was not there, and therefore their biological sexual functions didn't work. Why? Because basically the biological sexual functions are part of the physical world and come from the external shells. Now, to explain these external shells, the basic thing is like this, that in Kabbalah it explains that when God created the world, he did it through 10 sefirot, 10 emanations of godly attributes, which the original emanations of these godly attributes were infinite. And these basic emanations are as follows. Keser, which is the highest emanation of crown, which represents in a human person the power of will and the power of delight. The next one is Chokhmah, which is wisdom, which in a person represents the power of wisdom, which we discussed previously. Then comes the emanation of Bina, understanding. And these are called the intellectual emanations. And they're followed by the seven emotional emanations, which is basically the upper emotions of Chesed, which is kindness or love, Gevura, which is sternness or judgment, Tiferes, which is means beauty because it combines both the love and the judgment into mercy, and then the gut feelings of Netzach, the desire to conquer and overcome, Hod, the desire to be resplendent, Yesod, which is the desire to be connected to other people, and Malchus, kingdom, which is the desire to communicate. Now, these emanations, as they came out of the upper infinite light, came out in an infinite fashion, and included in them all the later emanations of the particular beings which came out of them. So that within a person, all these emanations are in a finite manner, as it is understood, of course, that a person does not have infinite wisdom. He has finite wisdom. And that he doesn't have infinite understanding. In the same way, it's also understood that in the emotional qualities, a person does not have infinite love. He has a finite love, not an infinite love. Now, the way these emotional and intellectual capabilities came out of actual godliness, they came out in an infinite manner. And basically, this is what it explains in the Holy Kabbalah, that really when it says that God is one, it does not refer to the fact that there is one rather than two or three gods. It refers to the fact that God is the only actual being. So that any other being that you see is nothing but a small part of the original infinite being. And not only that, it doesn't mean that he's really separate from the original infinite being, but he's still part and parcel of it. And there's various allegories given on this, like for instance that in a human body, even though each one of your organs has its own separate life, but really its life is only a part and parcel of the life of the body. And if that organ becomes cut off from the life of the body, then it will not have a life of its own because it really doesn't have a life of its own. The only life that it ever had was the life of the body. In the same way that the body really does not have a life of its own, it really is only getting life from the soul. And in the same way, in the world, it's understood that even though you might be looking at a tree or at a cat or at a person, and it looks like there's a little finite spark of life there, that little finite spark of life is part and parcel of the upper life of the infinite soul. However, the actual physical life force is not really part of God himself immediately. In other words, we must understand that basically there's an enclosement of four worlds, which in other words, each one of these worlds is inside, is a more inner world and is enclosed inside of the outer world. In the same way that in a person, there's the outer person, which corresponds to the outer world of asiya. Asiya is called action, which corresponds to the outer person, which is his outerly actions. Then there is the world of yetzira, which in a person, that means formation, which in a person corresponds to his emotions. Then there is the world of bria, or creation, which is that is where the actual creation came into a somethingness from nothingness. In other words, when it says that God created the world, it refers to the world of creation, which this is the first world which is actually a has any kind of a separate existence. And this corresponds in a person to bina, to the power of understanding. Above these three worlds, there's the world of Atzilus, which is called the world of godliness. In other words, that this world, even though it's already a world, a whole world with all the various beings in it, the various upper angels and the upper sephirot and all the various beings of that world, but that world is nonetheless totally connected to godliness and is totally good. And that corresponds to the world, in the human being, to the power of wisdom. Now, in the same way, like in the human being, the power of wisdom is enclosed within the power of understanding, and that the mind is enclosed within the emotions, and the emotions are enclosed within the actions, which is, of course, understood that whenever somebody does something, he's not just doing it disconnected from his mind. What he's thinking and what he's feeling is enclosed in his outer actions. And it's not really separate things. So over here, the worlds are not to be understood as separate things. And this brings up like an example of angels. As far as the study of angelology, usually when people learn angelology and they learn the various names of the angels, for instance, there's the four archangels, and each one of them has his gigantic armies of angels. And the four archangels have a superior angel over them. There's a single angel over the four archangels. And what they basically think is that there's another world, and in this world, there's these other beings that are sort of separate beings like we are, but bigger. And instead of being made out of gross matter like us, maybe they're made out of fire or something like that. But basically, that's not what it explains in Kabbalah. Kabbalah basically explains that this physical sphere is the lowest of all spheres, and the entire physical sphere has what is called the all-inclusive upper sphere, which is like the soul of this whole world, where all the power comes into this world. Now, in astrology, this is called the sphere of the constellations. In other words, astrology claims that the constellations, according to under which constellation you are, etc., that's how your luck will be. Luck in Hebrew is called mazal, and refers to the mazalus. Now, in Kabbalah, it explains that actually this sphere of the actual constellations of the stars is not really the sphere of the mazalus. The actual sphere of the mazalus is really an upper sphere which includes within it the entire world as one unity. And this is like the singular sound that some of the Eastern religions talk about. And this basic all-inclusive unity of the physical world is felt within each creature in the physical world because his life actually comes from it. In other words, within an animal, within a sun, within a star, within a tree, there is this upper energy that enlivens his soul. In other words, his little soul gets its life force from this soul of the world, so to speak. And this soul of the world is sometimes mistaken to be God. And as a matter of fact, it explains in Kabbalah that a lot of the ancient worships were called by Kabbalah, the ancient pagan worships are called Avodas Kochavim Umazolus, the worship of the stars and the constellations, which actually meant that they worshipped this singular sound, or singular energy rather, which basically sound is like a vibration or an energy, and they saw that as the totality of the entire physical world. Now in Kabbalah it explains that this is really just a physical thing still. The same like the whole physical world is physical, this totality of the physical world is also physical and not really spiritual. And the soul of this totality of the world comes out from what is called the excretion of the angels. Means that the lowest type of angels, which are called the Ofanim, the cycles. And it explains in Kabbalah that there's 10 different levels of angels. And from the lowest kind of angels, not actually from them, but from what they excrete. In other words, in the same way like we eat food and then we excrete the waste material, these angels eat from the upper light, so to speak. And the energy that is left over, the energy that they find is too gross for them and they throw out, from that energy comes the soul of the upper cycle of the physical world, from which all the souls of all the creatures in the physical world come from. Now, these angels are called Oifanim, cycles. Cycles means like circles. And it explains that the soul of the Ofanim, of the circles, are called the Chayos, the animals. So basically it explains that there's various levels of angels, and up in that world of the angels, there's also the same classifications as we have in our world. In other words, in our world there's still life, there's plant life, there's animal life, and there's human life. So in the same way, there's various angels that are called things like cycles. Cycles basically means wheels. Then in the various prophecies of the prophets, it describes various objects up in heaven like a chariot and horses and various animals with four faces, like the face of a lion and the face of an eagle. And then it also describes various angels that look like humans and they have wings and their feet look like a cow's feet. So, in other words, these are half human and half animal. And then it also describes that in the more upper heavens, there's even all the way to the throne of the glory, which the throne of the glory, again, is described in inanimate fashion. And upon the throne of the glory is sitting like the form of a man. Like the form of a man means that it's an allegory. The same like down here, there's man is the top of this world. Same way in the spiritual world, this is the top of the world, which is the bottom of the light of the godliness, which has entered into that world. So the basic thing of the angels now, as far as the life force, which goes from level to level, so in the angels, for instance, it explains that the soul of the angels, which are called cycles, meaning the inanimate objects, is the angels, which are called the animals. And so on and so forth, up to the top of that world, where it starts all over again, that the top of that world receives from the bottom of the angels of the next world up. And so it's understood that from one level of angels, the light and life force goes down to the next level. And in other words, in the same way that the inner soul of the world comes only from what's left over from the cycle angels, it's also to be understood that the inner soul of the cycle angels comes only from what's left over from the animal angels. And so forth, going up and up through the various levels. So the thing to be understood here is that when one looks, for instance, at the astrology of, in other words, how the external manifestations of the world control our human life. So, for instance, in this we mean even like the cycles of the sun and the moon. In other words, when it's daytime, we sleep, and when it's daytime, we're up, and when it's nighttime, we sleep. And then when it's winter, it gets cold, and when it's summer, it gets hot. And obviously, most of the animals and most of the trees, and even us humans, tend to adjust our life to these cycles. So the thing is that, in other words, these cycles of our world, which turn around and around, in other words, that the whole world is made of various cycles, like the cycles of nature, the oxygen cycle, the nitrogen cycle, the water cycle, how the water goes up into the clouds and then comes down, it goes down the rivers, etc. All these cycles are controlled according to the upper cycle of the entire universe. So that in a way, it's like a watch. Not like the new electronic watches, but the old watches. Remember in the old days, they had these watches that had a bunch of circles inside of them. They had all kinds of circles and big circles and little tiny circles, and each circle is going a different way. And all the circles together are running this clock. But you wind up all the circles just by winding up one circle, which gives power to all the other circles. So in the same way, we have to understand that all the entire energy that comes into this world, that turns the universes around, and it powers the stars and the quasars and whatever else there is out there, and that powers all the atoms, that each atom, as we know, is a tiny little storehouse of power, a little storehouse of energy, and is an immense amount of energy that it took up to make up this physical world. All that immense amount of energy is just the leftovers of the lowest kind of angels. So that even one of those upper angels has more energy in him than our entire world does. Now, to understand a little bit more, we have to understand that it's not only in terms of the actual physical structure of matter that we're talking about here, but even the physical structure of time and space. That the whole physical structure of both matter and time and space comes from what is called the Ratzav Ashoyev of the angels, from the running back and forth of the angels. And it says that the angels shout out, "Holy, holy, holy," and they run towards godliness. When they get too close, they get scared from the tremendous glory which they see there, and they run away. Then when they run away, they start feeling a feeling of longing, and they again say, "Holy, holy, holy," and they run towards godliness again. And this is there's a tremendous energy in that, which, as now even all the modern scientists know, the actual energy is nothing but running back and forth. That's what it's all about. In other words, a sound wave, like for instance right now you're hearing my voice, all that is vibrations, means that the little air molecules are vibrating back and forth. And if there's a light on where you're sitting, the reason you see it is because the light is also vibrations back and forth. So that energy is vibrations back and forth. It explains in Kabbalah that not only the actual physical matter but even the space in which it is and the time is also made up from this type of back and forth activity of the angels, which, in other words, the activity in the world, the energy of the world, means the going back and forth. That even heat means that in a hot room, the molecules are vibrating faster than in a cold room. So all of this energy is coming only from the very, very leftovers of the world above us. And this keeps going in world after world, as will be explained further.